why you got to watch out for the Charles Atlas Foundation.
This is the Midtown Comics Podcast. I'm episode 63. I'm Thor.
I'm Demetrius.
And our special guest this week is artist Amy Reeder. Thanks for being with us.
Hey.
She waved, guys.
She waved for those of you that didn't get to see that.
That's how nice she is, though. Because it doesn't matter. It's just it's the attention.
That's true. I think this is marking another milestone. It's been a few weeks since we've been together again, hasn't it? I keep leaving you, and you do the shows by yourself.
Yeah, no. I had some folks last week.
How did that go?
It was like a horror movie. It was crowded and loud.
Okay. That makes sense.
But it was good. I had fun. I think everybody had fun.
Okay. That's fine. I had fun listening to it.
Credit to your Jim Lee signing organization.
That's true. I was away because of Jim Lee signing, which was a lot of fun, too.
Amy, do you consider Jim Lee as your peer?
No.
He's an artist.
He's an artist.
You're an artist.
He's a pretty big deal, you know?
I heard he was, like, down earth and, like, nice.
He's very nice.
Yeah, he is.
But you don't consider him to be a peer?
No, I don't feel like
he's
a peer.
You don't think he should be in the jury if there was a trial against you? You wouldn't put him, Frank Quietly, other people in that jury?
Sure. But, I mean, like, when I say he's not my peer, it doesn't mean I don't like him.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
I'm just like, I'm not like, you know.
You don't think you're his equal?
Hey, how's it going, Jim Lee? Woo! Yeah.
Well, when he was doing some sketches for some people at the signing, and I kept saying, like, you know, that ear looks bad. You could probably do better than that. And
you said that?
Yeah. I was just kind of to coach him, you know. I know
which E looked bad?
Ear.
Ear? What ear?
Like, he was drawing ears on people.
Only?
Yeah. For some reason, he was doing, I would do ear sketches and ear sketches only.
That's weird.
Yeah. He was going through an ear phase,
maybe,
I guess.
Maybe it's a sign. Maybe no one was listening.
That might be it. That might be it. So I want to talk about this week, Madame Xanadu Volume 3 trade. Is it?
Yeah.
It's Volume 3, right? That you did the art for with Matt Wagner.
Yeah.
And
Joelle Jones did two of the issues in it. It's an 8-issue compilation.
That is...
It's just going to be 8 issues?
Yeah.
We're an impression that was an ongoing, though. I thought that's how previews advertise it.
The trade paperback.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Scratch.
I
thought we were talking about Batwoman, but the 8-issue.
No. We're talking about Madame Xanadu.
Sorry about that.
I want to get to my favorite stuff first.
Okay. Sorry.
So, and this is the storyline. What's the storyline about? Remind me, because
it's about. It starts out as. Like us following this 1950s housewife, a strange thing start happening to her.
Oh, I remember this one.
And then it quickly becomes a Madame Xanadu family feud.
Yes, okay. I remember everything about this
cool.
one. Now just the housewife thing kicked it off, yes. You worked with Matt Wagner on this series up until its end, which just recently was issue 30?
29, unfortunately. 30
they wouldn't even let you
so
get to
nice.
30?
Well, I don't know. They might have. It might have been Matt that was like, no, it's okay or something. I don't need a 30. Because the way that he had that last arc set up actually worked really well.
That was the five senses?
Six senses.
Six senses.
There you go. So I was the sixth issue because I wasn't doing all the issues on it. It was a different... female artist for each issue, doing a different sense. And then I did the final sixth sense, where it's mostly just focused on Madame Xanadu. So,
yeah, I thought that was kind of it was a really great idea because I remember when we had Matt on the show, it was before that whole story arc came on. He was telling us about it, and it seemed really interesting.
They sound excited.
Yeah, it was just – but it was – looking back now, it's kind of an odd thing to end on because you had six issues where they didn't really focus on the main character of the book. They were all individual stories that were all really good and really compelling that she made appearances in, but it wasn't until that last issue that was really about her, and then that last issue was the last one of the series. So
yeah, I guess that's a good point. I don't know. I just kind of saw it as like coming home, you know? the last one or whatever. So I thought it worked well for that. But that's true. Like, you just didn't get a lot of Madame Xanadu right at the end.
No, it did have that feeling of, you know, kind of bookended the whole thing, because you know it's the end of the series, and then you also know it's the end of that storyline, and then it kind of has – it definitely was left off with room to grow into another series kind of thing. For anyone that didn't read the last issue, I won't say anything about it. But
I was really curious, like, what Matt would have done as she started to pass the phase of when she was introduced into the DCU.
Mm-hmm. 70s.
Yeah, I mean, like, and past that, because, I mean, she was blind, so I wasn't... I don't think he was too hot on that part, so I don't know whether he would have addressed it or ignored it, you know, or, like, I was really interested to see where he would have taken it, so, yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's comic books, you know, no one can say that it won't be addressed in the future, you know, maybe including yourself, Amy. You know what I mean? They've done it. Maybe
there's hope out there.
It'd be nice, you know. It'd be nice.
Maybe a DC proper series. I mean, the fact was,
it really. I mean, it could have been, you know.
Yeah.
Except that what was great about it was that it was pretty much like you know, played with the DCU, but
in Vertigo,
like, wasn't heavily controlled.
What do you think? I mean, it was a lack of sales that caused it to get canceled, essentially, right?
Yeah, that's what I was told.
So, I mean, what do you think contributed? Why? I mean, it was most people who read it enjoyed it, in my opinion, from what I've seen. Why didn't people like? Why do you think not enough people picked it up, or why do you? What do you think contributed to possibly its downfall?
You know, I actually, I mean, you know, a lot of things have lowered in sales.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I really
comics always gradually decline sales as the issues go by.
And now it's, like, getting kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that it would have been more successful, except that it kind of got jumbled around, like, as far as who was in charge of it.
Okay.
Because, you know, Bob Schreck was the editor over it before, and the assistant, Brandon Montclair, whom I mostly worked with, so I kind of felt like he was a big part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And when Bob left, it's like Brandon was supposed to get it, but like he had to, there was all this red tape.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of had to wait to make it official. And like Shelley was sort of over it, but she didn't want to step on his toe. So it was sort of like nobody felt like they were able to really, you know,
like
overstep their bounds, which also like could have promoted the book.
Oh, you know? I gotcha.
So it was like just kind of like a really unfortunate thing. Because I mean, like, I didn't really see any ads about me coming back on the book.
Mm-hmm.
Not like it's all
not
me,
that you deserve
me,
it, but
but I'm just saying, like,
maybe the original fans who enjoyed it because of your art would have liked to known, right? Or,
well, and there was all this press. It just got nominated for 4 Eisners.
Yeah,
that's true.
And so, I mean, like, a lot of people were talking about it, but like most people didn't even know that I was back on the book. You know what I mean? And Kaluta's sold really well and really strong. People loved Kaluta's run.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, mine actually was like lower sales than, you know, and part of that I'm sure is because, you know, he's very well loved and has a great following. But yeah, I mean, they didn't really like try to go, she's back or anything like that, which, I mean, I it's weird for me to say because it sounds kind of big headed, but I do think it would have helped just because of the nominations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Vertigo's been in a really weird place the past year or so.
Yeah.
Like, they're not really pushing a majority of their books as much as I think they should be. And then, you know, people are talking about that they might not be around for much longer.
Really?
Like
I haven't
heard
that for Vertigo?
I've heard rumors.
You heard that?
I think that it's...
I will stay out of that
one. Okay.
I've heard, you know, I've read stuff that, you know, people think that Vertigo doesn't have much longer left in it, and
really?
I hope that that's not true, because I think they do great work, but
the trades,
people have such a love for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you know, we see the Wildstorm, you know, just went down, and I know obviously they're two different, completely different things, but still, if something like that can go, and you know, with Vertigo books, you know, either being canceled and you know, not as many starting up as they usually had been in the past, you know, it kind of gives you an idea that that might be a possibility.
Hmm.
You know.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, that's one of the things that I thought was so great about DC is, you know, that they have Vertigo.
The diversity.
That, like, there's really, like, a really big forum where people can go to make things that aren't superhero comics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, gosh, you know, you just really want them to succeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you want it to do great. You know, it's like everybody's got their fingers crossed for Vertigo.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to say that they single-handedly maintain the trade market, I would say, the graphic novel market.
Yeah.
I mean, do they look at the graphic novel sales to measure the success of your book, too, or is it just strictly issues?
They look at both. I think with mine, it wasn't like, you know, a huge difference or something. It's mm-hmm. It depends on the writer, I think, or just, you know, the readership, I guess. Because, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that Brian Woods are, like, extreme, mm-hmm. way better in the graphic novel section.
Oh, yeah. I guess I could see that.
Love graphic novels.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do pay attention, and I think that they really put a lot of faith in his work because of that, you know what I mean, and mm-hmm. wait until the trades come out.
So now that Madame Xanadu is over, you are working on Batwoman.
Yeah.
What's that like with J.H. Williams?
Mm-hmm.
How is he?
He's cool. He
is he a slave master?
Is he
like Disney in the 30s? where you have to sit there over a drawing table at 5 a.m. till,
and he's like, "Are you working yet?"
Yeah, and then like if he leaves, if you show up at your drawing table in the morning and you see a cigarette over in an ashtray over your table, you know he's been there judging your work, deciding whether it's good or not.
Oh man, no, he's really great. Like, I have a lot of respect for JH.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a big fan of his work. I met him at a Vertigo dinner when I first got my deal with Vertigo, hadn't yet come mm-hmm. out with anything, and I was kind of more in the manga side of things, so I didn't really read like many comics
right.
and stuff. So yeah, I didn't know who he was, and I was like, oh, so who are you? Had a nice conversation with him and his wife, mm-hmm. and it sounded like his stuff was really cool by how he was describing it, mm-hmm. and so they sent me like all of the Promethea issues and like a whole bunch of other stuff that he had done. Yeah, so I just thought that was really nice of them. And then mm-hmm. I sent my book, Fool's Gold, and he was really nice to, he like wrote a review of it or just nice words about it on his website.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just, you know, good feelings both ways. And then all, and I mean, there are still a lot of really great artists that I don't know about. You mm-hmm. know, it's embarrassing, but it's true. So, like, I just met Fraser Irving, and I'm like, oh, who are you? And, then I saw his stuff, and I'm like, wow, that's so good.
So you came, I know Fool's Gold was a Tokyo Pop book, and uh-huh. so you came over from a manga mm-hmm. background into, I guess,
mainstream.
Traditional American superhero-y type comics.
Yeah, I think it's like the best way to compare how it feels is like converting to Catholicism. Or maybe even like harder. It's like
just really
impossible. Like, it's really hard to penetrate, I think. There's just so much history. I don't know. It's just really hard for me to figure out.
Right. So you're still like, you're still new to hearing some people's names and some art. Different artists and things like that.
Do you feel like your editors are like nuns with rulers who just smack the table?
Okay, sorry, no, I wasn't even trying. I'm just saying because, like, well, I don't really get how the Catholic Church works, but mm-hmm. it seems very like there's all this different language, there's all these things you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. there's all this symbolism and statues that mean different things that mm-hmm. don't make any sense to me because I'm not, like, I wasn't born with it. You know?
Right.
But if you grow up with it, it totally
To you makes sense with it, yeah.
So anyway, that's how comics is. Which,
okay.
Which is something, honestly, that I'm trying to hoping to figure out ways for it not to be. I really want somebody, when they first read a comic, for it to just totally immerse them and they know exactly where to read first. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not because it's plain, but because it, like, really takes them in. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Father Thor, I have sinned. I did not know who Fraser Irving was. I did not know who J.H. Williams was. right? Was it like that?
Yeah. So anyway, so JH is a great guy, and I've just been keeping up and yep. saw his Batwoman work, mm-hmm. and definitely followed up on that. And I didn't read any superhero comics at the time, but I was reading Batwoman. So when I was talking to Dan DiDio about maybe getting an exclusive and working in the DCU, mm-hmm. He suggested Batwoman, and I was just like, wow, that would be amazing. That's way better than I thought I could get. And then I was really scared because I knew that I'd be like up against JH.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. At the time, Greg Rucka was going to be writing it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, since he created the character.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, then I thought, you know what, though? I feel like my art's stagnating. I really want to get better, and I really need a kick in the pants. And there's no way that I would be working with him without getting that, just naturally.
Kick in the pants?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm already feeling it, you know what I mean? I'm just constantly trying to think of some way to get better, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like constantly plotting to be good, really good.
is he like mentoring you? Does he supervise your artwork, give you pointers and stuff?
No, but you don't really want that, you know? I mean, as great as he is, it's like, that's kind of like a conflict, you mm-hmm. know? Because it's like, we're both artists, and then he's also the writer, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, yeah.
He gives you your freedom, or is it just a respect, or does he just want you to learn it yourself?
No, I mean, it's just like artists just understand that, like, mm-hmm. like you have to figure out things for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be a lot of pressure if JH was kind of like, no,
constantly,
you know,
reviewing
you
can
do
your
this and stuff. Yeah. Like, it would probably like make me freak out. You know what I mean? So,
how does he respond to the work? Is he liking the pages that you're doing?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. So I think it's true. And, I mean, I haven't done a whole lot of pages yet. I've done the zero issue, and I'm working on covers right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing variant covers for all of his issues, and then he's doing variant covers for all of mine. So there's two issues each time. Yeah, so that's really fun. I'm kind of figuring out how I want to render Batwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that he does his very differently. And I'm like, you know, I almost want to keep that because I know it's kind of his thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's kind of how you view Batwoman. She looks very film noir.
Yeah.
So why not make that part of her identity? So, yeah, I've been playing around with that a lot. And JH gives me a lot of feedback. It's, you know, it's just like story related.
Mm-hmm.
And like he has pretty in-depth scripts because like he very much pictures something and he only knows that it'll work by like knowing how it'll be paneled out in his head.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. So I have to so I've got what he probably had in his head, but I don't know what's inside of his head, you know, who would, you know, and then try to translate that and
so
figure out.
Do you feel like his scripts give you much wiggle room to go outside of what he's written down?
Are they
like super specific where it says a brown truck comes from left side of the panel?
It's pretty specific, but he's actually... we've talked on the phone about it right when we started, and he was like, you know, I really want you to feel free to change it however you want. Just talk to me about it,
right.
You know, because like, he does that, you know, and so he felt very strongly that, like, if there's some other idea that I have that I think works better, at least for me, then I should let him know. So I'm trying to follow that, and, I mean, so far so good. And yeah, like I said, he's just a good guy, you know. He really is. So I just try to stay in open communication with him.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about where my story is going to go. And I'm excited where his story is going to go because I've gotten to read the scripts, you know, to do the
right
mm-hmm. to do the covers. And I've also seen some of the art, and it's amazing. I mean, it's like, you know, what's funny is like the art. Is like, I've seen some of the issue one art, and it's like really, really good. I mean, okay. You know, you expect it to look good and stuff, yeah. But I mean, It's even better than the issue zero stuff. It's just like, I can tell that he's like approaching things like slightly differently. Like it's still super consistent with what he's done before.
Okay.
But he's just so complex that you wouldn't catch it, but you feel the effects.
Wow.
And it's just like, wow, you know?
So the only person who could screw it up is the printer.
Right? Yeah, pretty much.
That's how good it is.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys will have a real treat with that. And my stuff, I'm starting with issue 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be coming out in the summer. And I'm basically going to be focusing on that because, you know, I'm the other artist besides J.H. Williams. So
yeah.
My goal is to just make something that's really, really good.
Right.
Cool.
You said when you were talking to Dan DiDio about working in the DC Universe, mm-hmm. and he offered you Batwoman, did you have any characters or books in mind that you were thinking of, that you were like, this is maybe something that you had wanted to do? Or,
well, you know, he actually asked me, and I felt like I said, I'm just so underread.
Yeah.
That I just explained, you know, I don't really know. I just, it'd be nice to have a female to start out with.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's something I'm more confident in.
Yeah.
And plus I care more about them because they're females like me. but also, but I wanted to, I said I want it to be a female that's like not an object of desire, but more like, you know, like somebody that I can identify with.
Okay.
I'm not going to name characters.
Demetrius.
But you were expecting to get Ultra the Multi-Alien. I don't know if you know who that is.
Oh, I know, because okay. I watched Conan. Is that how you learned of Ultra? Or
no,
I'm an old Ultra fan.
I'm an old Ultra
fan. Oh, yeah?
Well, in Conan, he mentioned Ultra the Multi-Alien.
I'll try and send you the link. like, it's... Yeah,
is that when he went with... Bernard, when he redrew Wonder Woman.
It was the one that predated that one.
Oh, the very first one.
Yeah, he went to the DC Animation office.
Okay.
Now he's next to them or something.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so he's showing them all their lame characters, and that was
and
one
Ultra
of them.
Ultra the Multi-Alien was one of them?
Yeah.
I thought he was a great character. He's four aliens in one.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that's not good.
I'm trying to think who else.
And then Bruce Timm draws him like as a superhero.
You gotta
see the clip.
Yeah, Conan's just
look?
Like he's just
like a dork.
He's just describing all the things he wants in his superhero persona, and Bruce Timm's just like laughing as he's drawing. He's like fishnet stockings with golf shoes.
Yeah, he's like trying to keep a straight face.
Yeah, and it's a great picture. Yeah, there's two different clips of him talking to the people at DC. It's really funny.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, name a few characters that are current in the DC universe that fall under the guidelines of not objects of affection or desire was the word.
Uh-huh. Or just like where that's their role, you know, where it's just like, man, she's hot and she kills people.
Strong female characters in the DC universe that aren't
hot.
No, I mean,
I don't want to say they're not hot, but
hot.
But you know, but you're not just looking at it like.
I don't
like
I will.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
Okay.
Supergirl would not go on this list.
Yeah, she totally would. Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah, it depends on who does it. But recently,
all right, just name three. Like,
they've toned it down recently. I mean,
yeah,
Michael, the conception of Michael. I mean, Michael Turner's been known for only drawing hot women. So when he introduced Supergirl with her 12 abs. you know, it was unprecedented. Never before have there been abs that many abs before.
I got one. The Question would fit under that. The female Question.
Okay.
I think Wonder Woman would be one.
Well,
I mean,
the new Wonder Woman you're saying? The new costume?
No, even the old one. You know, like, I mean, I know she's got like curves and stuff, and dudes will draw her hot.
Yeah.
But she's supposed to be like super strong.
Yeah.
She's like you know, she's like a feminist. She like, you know, is this, she's an Amazonian woman, but she's not like, hey, boys.
Well, you do know that when William, was it Marston, I think what his name was, who created her?
Yeah.
When he created her, he was a huge, this is like in the 1940s, he was a huge advocate of women's rights at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And when you actually read his book, his whole idea was she has to be a strong female character. And he created his idea based around that, you know, Amazonian descendant, super strong.
Yeah.
And she was getting people out of danger, essentially. It was a strong... That was his intention. But when they had the JSA series at the time, mm-hmm. and they were taking in different characters from different series and teaming up together, they never really saw it the same way he did. So when you read her issue, she would fight evil and then, you know, save Steve Trevor. When you read JSA, she was her secretary typing up the minutes of the JSA meetings. Believe it or not. So,
no.
Poor Wonder Woman.
So you're right. You're right.
But yeah, so I guess the term so there, I'm no, there was up is Vixen. I tried to stay away from the Vixen type.
Okay. So
what about Vixen
out
the
of
character?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a character
in the DC universe.
Yes. That's in the DCU.
Yeah, she's in Justice League.
Oh gosh,
strong female character. She turns into different, or she gets the abilities of different animals, and her name is Vixen.
All right, and I mean, there's certain ones that I do like. Like mm-hmm. I like Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
Okay, she's totally a Vixen.
You know.
Yeah. There's her point. Yeah.
Like, and same with Catgirl a little bit.
Oh, you're talking about Tony Daniels' character, Catgirl, or you're talking about Catwoman?
Oh, I meant Catwoman.
There's a new character introduced called Catgirl who's kind of her sidekick slash cousin
really?
Or something.
Sorry.
Yeah, Kitty Falcone, I think her
Catwoman.
Name is.
Catwoman. But
I agree. Catwoman.
I mean?
Catwoman's
like,
not. You're right.
The idea is she's a little bit more vixen-y. She's a little bit more intimidating.
When Darwin Cook...
But she's still kind of cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
she uses it, and she's not, all right. I just think of,
she's not
Tomb
necessarily
Raider character.
Eye candy. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Laura, she's just, super hot.
Laura Croft.
She's a genius, so that makes it okay. Like, she's still just, hot and kills people.
Yeah, no, when Darwin Cook redesigned Catwoman's costume, he had the whole intention of, it has to be... utilitarian. Everything in there mm-hmm. has to be for a reason, as opposed to, okay, it's a hot cat costume.
Yeah.
Which yeah.
I'm sure, coming from Tokyo Pop, you've seen enough of those in other manga.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I mean, I read more of the stuff that was meant for girls.
Okay.
They actually have a lot. I mean, I guess you would know, huh? Because you work in a comic book. But they have a lot of stuff for girls. I mean, it's I didn't really have much of an interest in the stuff that was the harem manga or whatever.
Yeah.
No.
Not even Love Hina?
No, I didn't really. I
Love
really
Hina is
Love Hina.
About a guy who's trying to get into college, a popular college, and is in a house full of...
Hyenas?
Lots and lots of beautiful women.
And he's a total geek.
He's
so
a geek.
It's like
but
like
they all
fantasy.
Love him for some reason.
Sounds a lot. I think that was based off my college experience.
That must have been.
Yeah, I liked. I used to read Hot Gimmick, which is sort of like a teenage romance novel. Mm-hmm. And I always felt super guilty for reading it and stuff. It was so wrong. And it was all about this girl who just. She kept getting in these really hot situations with these various three guys that she liked or didn't like or whatever, and she was just kind of a pushover, and it kept getting her in trouble.
Yeah.
And it was 12 books long, and all of me and my friends, we were all friends online, all us Tokyo Pop artists, so we're all reading along, and we're all waiting for her to you know, get her feet under her and tell them who's boss and see who she ends up with. And the 12th book I heard, I didn't end up buying it because I was so mad. She was just the same old girl.
Oh,
and
never.
We were it really was just a romance novel. It was just supposed to be. But the storytelling's great. It really wraps you up. So I still read it for that.
Have you read Birds of Prey at all?
I haven't. And
you should.
People have told
that's
me
that's full
that
of
they want
strong
that.
Female characters.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, it's nothing but.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is it's Oracle, former Batgirl, who is essentially in charge of an operation full of mostly women.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really good. And driven by Gail Simone, who's a female writer, actually.
Hey, yes.
There you go.
Who's on the Birds of Prey team right now? I know it's. Black Canary?
Black Canary is always on the team. Huntress is always on the team.
Blackbird.
Lady Blackhawk, man. God, have you picked up a comic book in your life? Lady Blackhawk, Hawk and Dove.
I'm sorry.
Hawk and Dove.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I don't think there's... Misfit is on the team.
Okay.
Yeah.
That I know who she is.
Do you?
She's a wannabe Batgirl.
Hey, how'd you know?
See, I know something.
Cover.
So after you're going to start with issue 6 of Batwoman, which is going to be sometime in the summer, you're saying?
Oh well, I'm starting on it now, but
I mean that's
yeah,
that's
it's
going to
be
first.
Coming out. Yeah, like probably July or August.
And how long are you going to be working on Batwoman?
Like, indefinitely now, like the ideas that we're trading off. So far that's the plan. And I'm hoping to get like a one shot somewhere where I can just like ink and color. Cause I've been thinking a lot about coloring comics and what I'd like to do with it. Mm-hmm. So, like try and look out for that. Maybe I'll write it, but I don't know if I'm ready yet. I want to,
I'm sorry,
somebody.
If I'm, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you colored yourself in Madame Xanadu, didn't you, in the first few issues?
I didn't.
Oh, really?
No, that was Guy Major.
Oh, those colors went so well with your art, though, in
Thank
my opinion.
You.
Yeah, well.
The first two issues I inked.
Oh, okay.
So, maybe I mean, it might just be something where the Guy reacted to the inks differently or something. Yeah, okay. I don't know. But also, I think he spent a lot of time on those colors at the beginning. Hmm. Yeah, like probably more than he was able to.
It had a pretty cool pastel effect, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it personally.
Thank you. Yeah, I really liked it too. Like, yeah, when she was in the Camelot mm-hmm. times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like it was really ethereal. And I love coloring. Like, that's like mm-hmm. the funnest thing in the world to me. Like, when I did Fool's Gold.
How old are you? I'm sorry.
I'm 30.
30 and you enjoy. Oh, I'm sorry. I remember when I was three,
right.
I could say that with a straight face.
No, it's basically shading. Like, when I was growing up, I didn't really draw. I just copied photos mm-hmm. and it was like pencil rendering with shading.
Yeah.
So it was basically all shade, all values. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm naturally good at.
Okay.
So the other stuff I had to learn. So like I just really, really love it. I don't know. It makes me
happy. Do you know Laura Martin's work? She's a colorist. She does mostly Marvel stuff.
Yeah. I think so. Like, isn't she like married or has a boyfriend who's
I don't know. That I don't know, but
Thor's hoping that's not true.
She was the one.
I feel bad if I think that. Like, and
she got hired to right before Dave Stevens died to recolor the Rocketeer.
Here we go.
IDW did, and they put out three or four different versions of it, all different, you know, quality, like super gigantic size and small and everything mm-hmm. like that. But I have the original Rocketeer is one of my favorite characters. So I have the original books, the original like issues, and then I have all these reprints with her new coloring on it. And it's just amazing to see how alive it transforms the art. And she would show on her website her process. And, you know, for the average comic book fan, you say coloring is like, okay, coloring. You color red. Superman's cape is red. That's okay. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's like a 12-step process of just all these different subtle layers that, you know, you could see on like stage 6. You're like, oh, that looks great. It's done. But 12 more layers go on top of that.
Why'd you pick 12 steps?
I don't know.
Can I guess the 12 steps of coloring?
Please.
Step 1, look at the pencils. Step 2, pick a color. Step 3, highlight with mouse. Step 4.
You're really underselling an important process of the comic book world.
I think
click
it's
on
like
cape.
Huge. I think that everybody's like, I mean, I'm serious. I look at comics and I see where things are the colorist problem.
Yeah.
That you actually probably think are the penciler's problem.
Okay, really? Let me amend it here. Okay. Dark red under the bottom of the cape and bright red on top of the cape. Is that how it works?
Let me ask you this. Since you clearly are paying close attention to the colors.
I'm paying attention, man. Dark red.
I find, and you know, if you can't give an answer to this, I understand. But I find that Vertigo doesn't do a great job print-wise with their books, especially in trades. It's like kind of newsprint.
I thought
kind
that
of
was
stuff.
Just mine.
It doesn't really like pop as well as it should.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, when Why Last Man got switched over to hardcovers, mm-hmm. Fables is now doing that. You know, I upgrade to those because the paper's nicer, the colors are better, things like that. I mean, do you notice that kind of stuff? Or does it?
Yeah. You know, it was really funny with the first Madame Xanadu trade. It was shocking how dark it was because it was supposed to be the same paper. And then so was this one, I thought, but it's darker again, so I suppose it is different. And yeah, that's a little frustrating. And Guy actually kept that in mind, so it's like kind of funny because our issues were very light for this arc, but now they seem to look really good in the trade.
Ah, so thinking ahead with the dark printing. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
That's what people will keep seeing in the future.
The nice thing about it printing extra dark is that I guess it covers up mistakes. It makes things that you thought looked bad look better.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you have like a lot of details and stuff that get drowned out, it's kind of a bummer. Yeah, they have different like coloring rates and levels that different books get.
Okay.
You know, I think mine was silver or something. There's like gold, silver, and bronze or something.
Okay.
So like Guy got a silver rate for Madame Xanadu, and he can do so many effects or something like that. I don't know if they really follow it, but like, and you get certain types of paper that way. So I think it's usually gold rate when it's superhero comics, and you get the nicest paper.
Okay.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think majority of Vertigo single issues and initial trades are all kind of on that newsprint kind of paper.
Yeah, and I think it's partially because like there's this kind of assumption with Vertigo that the writing is more important than the art.
Right.
I don't know if I like totally agree with that approach, but I think that's probably why like they probably don't care as much.
Yeah, for the people that come in that don't really read comics regularly and they want a good story, you know we tend to always push them towards like a Why Last Man or Fables or something like that.
Easy Vertigo titles.
Yeah, because there's a lot of them. They're addictive. You want to keep reading them and stuff like that, but obviously to longtime comic book readers, you know, we know that the art is half the storytelling too. So if if Why Last Man had terrible art.
Well, according to you, coloring is another portion of storytelling, right?
Okay. There's like six halves.
Step six, apply peach to skin.
I'm really
steel.
Bad with this. And cause I feel like I'm kind of a layman, as far as how I see comics and stuff. And I have a very hard time opening up a book and wanting to read it if I think it's quote unquote ugly.
Oh, really?
Which can mean a lot of different things from me, because I'm very girly too. So if something just kind of if the faces don't look pretty or something like that, I'm just kind of like,
no. You're right though. I mean it's what opens the door for most people for a book that they wouldn't normally pick up. Like you got the people who would pick up Spider-Man no matter what, but let's say you want to give them introduce them something else. The art would be what,
and also people that are just new to comics in general.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot of those people who are new don't really care if it's the classic style,
right?
You know, they're pretty open to what it looks like, I think, but they just want something that looks pretty to them.
Yeah,
you know?
I think the one of the funniest things that I come across is when someone sees the cover of the book. For example, like an Alex Ross cover on a book, and they open it up.
They get so
mad. Why doesn't it look like that in there?
Yeah.
And like, well, there are very few books that he's actually done interiors for. but yeah, and you know, just using Alex Ross as an example, but like, if the cover art and the interior art aren't the same artist, or not even, or at least similar style, like a lot of like newcomers to comics, the wolves will be like, I don't understand why.
Yeah.
It's like they feel like they've been tricked.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something that you don't see in manga.
Yeah.
You know? So, I know I felt that way a lot, and it almost makes you dislike the interior art more, by seeing the outside, all right, I'm going to say something like, hopefully it's not offensive to anybody or anything, but like somebody was mentioning to me, and I was like, wow, that's probably a valid point, that like cover art, does it really sell the book? I mean it might give like draw people's attention, I guess.
Yeah,
but like do they really get that many back in sales?
Unfortunately,
I think it's probably
the one place where you can't say you can't judge a book by its cover is comics, unfortunately. Well, when you look at the classics, for example, Amazing Spider-Man number 50, where you have the iconic image of Peter Parker slumped over, you know, and the Spider-Man faded image in the background. Yeah. I mean, a lot of those covers are what actually does sell the book. And even with the current ones, the cover artists, unfortunately, I would say that's good then, at least,
because if they're, I mean, you know, then that's good. If it's actually worth it.
People, you know? For example, will pick up anything Alex Ross does covers for.
It's also, if you look at previews, they solicit, all books are, you know, the solicitations are just the cover images. It's very, you know, very rare that you'll get the cover plus some interior preview pages too.
That's true.
So people like retailers, that's customers, they see the cover and whatever the cover says to them.
Yeah.
You know, that's. I mean, obviously, most people will look to see who's doing the interiors too, because you know they don't expect to see the same thing. But you know, it does play a bigger part than most normal.
And colorist
books, you know, because like, because imagine, just think the cover to the Twilight book is
it's a guy with an apple.
It's actually like a stock image that is not even original to the Twilight book. I've seen that image a long time ago.
Oh, really?
It was like a Getty Images thing. That
Thor's nutty conspiracies.
No, I'm just saying, but like. It's complete opposite of comics because, you know, if you had a stock image, if you had a Spider-Man issue that just said Spider-Man on it, that was
like
it.
A blank cover.
Well, that's different.
What though? Like, I mean, maybe the good thing about cover artists is that if you don't like the interior art,
at least you've got a
good cover. You can kind of like pretend like that cover is what it really is, and that the interior is just a representation. So you can kind of almost like convert it in your head.
Well, you're doing variant covers for Supergirl, right?
Or just covers? Yeah.
Yeah, but you are speaking against cover artists, but you are also one. So
cover artist.
What's your opinion when you go in having to do
a cover?
You know, when you go in doing a cover.
What do I think going into a cover? I don't know. I think a lot of things when I go into a cover.
I mean, Thor mentioned something before. They reuse these images too. I mean, we got posters and stuff. I mean, there's a chance that a cover would get. It's more likely a cover would get reused than.
That's true.
Well, I mean, it's.
Nah, see, I'm already sold. So. I think when I think about like my role or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really think a lot about the philosophy, you know, and why am I doing this cover and stuff like that. It's more like, for me, an exciting opportunity, you know, because I like to do illustrations. And when you do a lot of sequential work, it's very fun to do a cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like a different thing to do because you've got Batwoman that's very like dark and serious, and then you know Supergirl's the opposite.
Right.
So you know, it's kind of a fun break. Plus, I want to stretch myself as far as illustrations go. So it's just kind of an exciting thing to see like where I can surprise people and how good I can get on any one cover and whether I can keep stretching myself. I don't really think too much about business. I just try to be good.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you think? With the frame of mind that people may be disappointed by the interior work once they see the cover, you're like, I'm going to make them so disappointed because I'm going to make this cover extra awesome.
I definitely don't think that. I don't think that. No, Jamal Eichel's great. And I don't know if you guys have seen the Bernard Shank stuff. I really like his style.
Has that started yet? I know Jamal's last issue was just recently. I think Bernard's first issue is on its way.
Right before that, though.
Okay.
Like, I don't know whether it was planned or not, but yeah, he did one. Was it the issue that I had the me is Supergirl.
The me variant.
Like, she's got blonde hair, so I always think like, oh, I'm flying wings. Maybe that's what it is. It's just like selfish, you know? Like I get to pretend like I'm Supergirl.
Hey, can I say something? I don't know if it's a compliment to female artists such as yourself.
Uh-huh.
When you guys actually do draw vixens, like Power Girl or somebody, I always feel like it's okay for me to pick it up. you know? like your peer, Amanda Connor, for example, who drew Power Girl famously.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I think that can go both ways because you can, like, make it... I think women can make it a little more believable anatomically. So it's like... Like, good for you. You like a real woman, you know, whose boobs
a real woman who's drawn in a comic book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I obviously I'm believing that all this stuff is actually true in comics. But, yeah, but at the same time, you know, you want to watch out about, like, going too far in that direction. Because, I mean, that kind of thing can be thought of with, like, I guess race and culture too. It's like you don't want to just like think that something's okay because somebody from that group, you know, is doing it. Right, you know okay. what I mean? but yeah, sometimes it is because it's a little different.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? But if it was the same exact thing but a woman drew it, I don't know, I wouldn't really think of it as any different.
Well, I do, and that's how I console myself.
Okay. I mean I think there's a place for boner material.
whoa, no one said that.
I'm just saying, it's just the
it's weird that you came up with that word because that's the exact word that he uses.
Well,
about
what I call,
he's like, look at all these books I'm getting this week.
The only boner material I read is Jeff Smith, and that's bone, and that's it.
Oh gosh,
that's the only thing.
Oh. yeah, so I mean, but I'm just thinking like, was this a family friendly?
It was 49 minutes ago.
Just
it was.
You know, like in manga, there's stuff for everybody, and I just want there to be stuff for everybody here,
right?
And right now, I don't really want to be drawing that other stuff. I don't like necessarily have something against it if it's in the right like arena and stuff like that. But like, you know, I think that there's a small amount of stuff for us girlies that doesn't make us feel like, ooh, I stepped into the wrong room. I feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And so right now I want to concentrate on that. Plus it's what more interests me more.
Can I ask some questions about the Batwoman plot upcoming that you may or may not be able to reveal to us?
More than likely, probably not.
Bit. No, I can't. Well, no, I can kind of like tell you what it's like, kind of.
Okay.
I can't really say what happens.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to be doing different things from people's point of view on my arc, which is kind of cool. It's going to be like non-linear.
That's cool.
And like... from six different people's point of view, and it like switches back and forth, so it's like super intense and like all like kind of comes to a head. So I'm very excited about that, and it's going to be really hard.
Like
it's
The Wire.
I don't know about The Wire.
Oh, it's not a comic; it's a TV show.
Yeah,
you don't watch TV either.
I've never watched that show either.
Serious. I just, you know, Meg, I don't have a TV right now.
Amy, we're preparing you for conventions because Lord knows, us fanboys are going
to
be throwing.
All we
it,
do is consume
to me
media.
All the time.
It's just
I'm used
media.
To it now.
Okay,
you know,
cool.
I just try and like throw a smile and hope it'll all.
That's actually a very good strategy. Wherever you learn that, that's the best strategy.
Yeah, it does help. That's how I do it. It was operant conditioning, but I don't know. So yeah. Anyway, it's just supposed to be cool, and it was kind of funny though that JH came up with it because it's something that he would
the smile and turn away or wait.
No.
Sorry.
The various points of view because obviously he would draw in like different styles for each one and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not necessarily somebody who has a million styles, so I kind of have to figure out how I want to address it. But I am really excited about it.
Cool. I got more narrative like questions actually.
Sure.
Will we see Star Sapphires in Batwoman?
I don't think so.
It's a Green Lantern type character. It's a very, very
belong in the. I mean, I don't know much about the Batwoman world.
I think they're
going to
have more
world,
people
but...
from the Bat world, wouldn't they?
That would make more sense. No, just the Batwoman Star Sapphire. Star Sapphires are very vixen-like. I'm just trying to...
Well, you know, JH was saying that he really wants to... right now, he's trying to create a rogues gallery for
Batwoman.
So
that's cool.
That's really what's going on right now. There's a bunch of villains that are like all really
all
diverse
original.
And cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's really what's going on. And so he's introducing some. I'm introducing some.
It's not going to be like... Lady Joker or
no, I think
Miss
like,
Penguin or
I mean, I think they're going to be more along the lines of like
Catman. Oh, Catman actually exists. I'm sorry. Go on.
sorry. You know, I mean, Batman has all the like really ridiculous villains to contrast with him, you know, being very sober and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Kate, like. It seems like her people have been more, like, fantastical and mystical and stuff like that.
Oh, like Alice and...
And like, all the were-people.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so it's going to be more, like, that kind of stuff.
All right.
Yeah. So it should be really cool. Like, I like all of his different ideas that he's come up with. Like, they're pretty sweet.
Is he doing the actual physical character design for all of them, too, or just writing them?
He's doing the character design for the ones that he's introducing, and I asked if I could have some hand in the ones that I'm doing, so he's letting me do that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure you'll have some feedback, but but yeah, so it should be cool.
Interesting. Well,
sounds great. I can't wait to see them. Coming out later this January, right?
February.
February? Okay.
Yeah. It's so right around the corner. It's still already worth January.
Yep.
Cool.
So, I'm excited. I bet you will be.
Okay, we should get to the picks real quick.
Okay.
What is your pick for this week, very quickly?
My pick is Death Note Black Edition, Volume 1. They're re-releasing the Death Notes. It's two volumes collected, and I mean, that's the, correct me if I'm wrong here, Amy, but that's the manga that's a must-read from recent years.
Definitely. I love Death Note.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to pick that up then because I've never read manga.
That's the one manga.
It's like mystical, but it's more like a psychological thriller.
It's the best chess game ever, in my opinion.
And you'll very much respect the art, I think.
Really?
It's like incredibly detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very beautiful.
So this would be the, if you were going to pick up the first manga you ever read, this would be it.
I usually suggest that to people. Yeah, Death Note.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a great sale, then. I think everyone should come pick that up, then. My pick this week is going to be Who is Jake Ellis Number 1 from Image Comics. It's a new series. I don't think it's going to be one of those series that everyone hypes up saying that the first issue is going to be worth a lot of money.
You mean us?
No. Bleeding Cool does that a lot, I think.
Oh, okay.
But it looks... The art looks really great. It's kind of like a super spy kind of human target thing. The art's sort of Darwin Cook influence. The guy who's recently just started on Daredevil, Francesco Francavella.
Okay,
it's a little bit like that. Very stylized art. It looks really great. So
I like Human Target.
There you go,
Amy. Anything you're looking forward to other than your own book?
And obviously, I would have picked Madame Xanadu because I think I usually pick that anyway.
Yeah, you pick that all the time.
Yeah,
or Rocketeer,
or Ex Machina.
Nice. All right. Well, there's Madame Xanadu coming out. I'm sadly a little underread right now. So I'll just say what I've been reading and what recently came out that finished up a series that I've been liking. And that would be Peepo Chu.
Okay.
It might be in your manga section. Might
it is.
Not. Is it?
Yep.
Okay. It's by Felipe Smith, who was living here and then he went to Japan and like somehow... is getting published by a big publisher there, and they're licensed. Yeah,
wow.
In Japan, and they're licensing it over here. He was a Tokyo Pop artist, and it's really, really hilarious and very good. It's like groundbreaking. I can't recommend it for everybody because it's incredibly crass and violent,
okay,
and sexual. But
okay.
It's like. If you can read manga, like if you don't hate manga, and if you really want something that'll blow you away, I would say you should read it. It's only 3 volumes, and it's amazing.
3 volumes in total?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All 3 of them come out. Basically,
like I really can't recommend it enough.
If I could sell it for you, basically, if you're over World War II, start picking up this manga, right?
What?
Because it's Japanese. Because we don't hate them. Because we're over them.
That was... Okay. That was a think piece, but it was also there was no reward.
Did that joke bomb?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe too soon about that one, too.
Actually, though, it talks a lot about the culture clash between U.S. and Japan, as well as the culture clash between comics fans and manga fans.
Ooh.
And it's actually really hilarious. And you guys would love... Well, if you can laugh at yourselves, you would love his poke at superhero
Americans.
Characters. He draws them like the most... It's hilarious. You have to take a look.
He better not make us look like idiots. Cause...
He makes fun of manga, too.
Okay. Well, then that's okay.
He makes fun of everything. That's the thing. It's like very crass. It's very sarcastic. But it's really good. It's heartfelt, which is weird to say because it's really... crazy.
You just sold it to me.
All right. You get it and then I'm gonna borrow it.
Fine.
What are the sales this week that we have?
All the sales have just wrapped up, so we only have currently 50% off of all apparel online. So
well, that's still good because you could get a sweatshirt.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sweatshirts, t-shirts.
That's all you need.
Bees. We got YouTube, the Midtown Comics TV, right? We got Twitter. What's the Twitter thing?
It's Midtown Comics, one word, on Twitter, yes, and on Facebook.
We're on Facebook.
We're giving away lots of fun stuff. We have signed limited edition Marvel prints.
Cool.
Some Dark Horse variants we're going to be giving away soon.
Okay.
A lot of different stuff that we'll be giving away, and you have to follow us on Twitter and Facebook to be able to be eligible for those things. So
stalk us.
Stalk us, please. How can people stalk you?
Can people find you anywhere?
You know, I keep changing where I am online,
mm-hmm.
but the best place to find me is my fan page on Facebook.
Okay.
So
there it is.
I would
Amy Reeder on Facebook. Fan page. Check it out. Do you like it or did you just see it?
I don't like to like things, you know. I don't want to I could like things, but I don't want to commit to liking things. Which
yeah, it's
Facebook
kind of a pride issue, I realize. I don't do it too much either.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically where I update everything. I have a secret, like, personal one, and, like, I just add people I know well.
Uh-huh.
But, like, even them, I tell them that they probably should like my fan page because I don't talk about work.
Gotcha. On your own personal one.
On my personal one, I try and leave all of that.
You got to separate. You got to have.
All right. Here, Amy, you know, I don't want to presume, but I feel like we're close friends here.
Does your family
like your fan page?
Yeah.
Because if they do, then I will. Okay, fine. All right. So I'll like the fan page.
All right. Good. Good.
Fine.
Most
everyone.
I still won't like Midtown Comics.
No.
I don't feel that close to you.
That's messed up.
Fine. I'll like that too. Jeez.
For all these years, that's how you're going to do me?
No. I'll like your fan page.
All right. Okay, so thank you for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Wealth of information, and it's great to have...
And you're very humble, Amy.
Yes.
That's very refreshing.
I hope.
It's sort of
I guess that's what you'd say if you were humble.
Me? That's my father's name.
You're like me. I'm humble and cool, too. So
you are.
Thanks.
No, it was a question mark, not a period after that.
Dude.
Okay.
And I love cover artists.
Yeah, we don't want to start cover artists, interior artists feuds here.
I've been converted. I think cover artists are the best thing in the world.
All right, so DC, make sure to have Amy do more covers.
All right, ready for my final words?
Yes, give us the final words, please.
This week's final words are the Hornet, who is a character in the Irredeemable Universe, which is an awesome series about a rogue greatest superhero who's turned villain, and the Plutonian, who is that villain, kills the Hornet.
Is there a line for Amy to read in any of this?
No, there's a girl here who can't speak, so I'm sorry. Unless you want to be...
I will not speak
here,
then.
Here, you could be the Plutonian.
I'll just be like, because she looks like she's beat up a bit, so I'm like... keep going.
All right, so I'll be the Hornet. You be the Plutonian in this one.
Okay.
And you could do the mother. She's a little girl. All right. Please, not my daughter too. She's only a little girl.
I know exactly what she is. She's a carbon bag of atoms and bioelectricity. You know who I am, Sarah? He whispers in her ear. I'm a superhero.
And then everybody dies.
That's kind of neat. mean?